Hello there, and thanks for joining me today in the podcast, The Psychology Report. Violence against women. That's my topic today. The problem of violence against women. You know, today happens to be November the 25th. And today we observe the United Nations International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. Now, I don't know if you knew that this was the day that we recognize the fact that women are often the subject to a great deal of violence in our society, and it's a day to kind of not only honor women, but to recognize the fact that they are very much vulnerable to violence and to the strength and to the dominance and to the strong will of men. So today we celebrate a particular day of violence against women in the hopes that today we can turn the tide a little bit and go in a different direction. Our news in the last several weeks has been peppered with indications and stories and incidences and claims and counterclaims of violence against women, particularly in the political realm as well as in the entertainment industry. But that's not necessarily where it takes place only. You know, within the church, the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, all churches have had this go right through the very main core of leadership within the church, unfortunately. Schools are not immune. Coaches in the athletic world are certainly not immune. In other words, our world is filled with violence against women in all kinds of arenas where women find themselves, live, and function. Now, what is the general pattern? A number of research studies have been conducted, and there's no absolute number, but it just will give you kind of an estimate. It'll give you kind of a sense, a taste of what's going on in our culture. Regarding physical abuse, nearly one-third, about 33%, of the women in the United States have been slapped, pushed, shoved by a person they consider to be an intimate partner, a boyfriend, a husband, a fiancé, or whomever. About a third. And about 25% of the women in the United States report that they've experienced severe physical violence of some form, hair being pulled, beaten, choked, suffocated, kicked, threatened with a knife, threatened with a gun, whatever it might be. Some form of physical violence. So physical abuse is very, very common. 25 to 30%, if you kind of use that range, in different forms of physical abuse. That's incredible to think that that takes place. But now let's take a look at psychological abuse. What about that? 16% of the women report that they've been watched or stalked, or they have somehow been followed by somebody who either attacks them or threatens them with an attack. On the other hand, about 40 to 50%, as much as 60% of women have been called names, slurs are perpetrated against them, put-downs, humiliation, made fun of, name-calling of various kinds. A very, very common form of psychological abuse, much more than physical abuse. And it seems to indicate that psychological abuse, by name-calling, for instance, precedes physical abuse, such as slapping and pushing. So they seem to, you know, go together there a little bit, one leading to the other. 40% of the women indicate that they've been controlled by men. That is, they were not allowed to go see their family or not have friends outside of their outside of the marriage or the relationship. They men control their finances, their spending, control their decision-making. 40%. Okay? 35% of the women indicate that a man would threaten suicide if she did not do what he wanted her to do. Or if she threatened to leave the relationship, he would threaten suicide. 35% of the men do that. And about 25% of the men keep a woman financially broke, take all her money, minimize the use of money, give her just a short supply of money, and is the high controller of the finances. That's all psychological abuse in relationships. And the more the intimate relationship, the more the couple is married or is in a living relationship, the more likely these kind of behaviors occur. Now, they start in the dating a little bit, but when they come into an intimate relationship and live together or marry or see each other on a regular basis and commit, these are the kind of behaviors that start to take place. Now, what about sexual abuse? We've looked at physical abuse, psychological. What about sexual abuse? 18% of the women in our society in the United States indicate they've been raped. 18%. 45% of the women in our society indicate that they've been victimized. That is what's happening in the news these days. Groped, fondled, grabbed, patted on the rear end. The men exposing themselves to women, such as we just heard about one of the senators. 35% of the women experience that kind of behavior and have to live with that kind of behavior. So sexual abuse is rampant. So this whole idea of violence against women is not just kind of physical violence of just hitting them. I mean, this is all kinds of embarrassing, humiliating kind of experiences that women have to go through at the expense of men because they feel that they have some power over women. Sure, they have power, physical power over women. That's probably very true. Sometimes it's financial power over women. Sometimes it's emotional power over women. Sometimes it's employment power over a woman. Anytime a man is in a powerful position over a woman, there is a likelihood of some form of abuse, some form of victimization taking place. So we have to be very, very careful not to allow, you know, that to occur. And women have to take a very, very strong role in minimizing and eliminating and stopping this kind of behavior taking place towards them. The Harvey Weinstein incident that took place in Hollywood here recently, and him being exposed to the kind of man that he really is, has to stop. The kind of stuff that's been going on with senators, you know, has to stop. And it stops a little bit when you fire such perpetrators of violence, not just sexual violence, but all kinds of violence. When you fire them from their job, when you fire them from their position, you take them out of their role of authority and power. So that's kind of one step that an employer can take, or a supervisor can take, or a leader can take, kind of stop the power. Eliminate the power, minimize the power, fire people who are in power and who use that power against somebody else. But here's another point about women. And you women, here are some of the things you can do. We have to remember this. If you're a woman, remember this, that men respond sexually to visual images. To visual images. If you present yourself sexualized in your dress and your presentation, there's a high likelihood that you are going to stimulate some man to become sexually aroused and sexually attracted. Now, he may exercise that attraction towards you, but he may not. He may exercise that attraction towards somebody else that's in his world of influence, under his world of influence. All he has to do is to be sexually stimulated and then find somebody to exercise this sexual act upon for satisfaction purposes, for power satisfaction purposes. So just remember, women, you are creating a circumstance, a situation that is likely to arouse sexual violence towards you or towards another woman as you present yourself sexually attractive in your presentation, your dress, in your manner of walking, in your manner of standing, your manner of just physical presentation. So you can do a lot there. The other thing you can do as a woman is enhance your assertive communication skills. You got to learn to be assertive. You got to learn to speak up. You got to learn to say no, and you have to do it with conviction. You have to do it with determination. You have to do it with power. The word is no, and you stand with it, and you determine that people listen to you when you say the word no. You don't equivocate. You don't say no in a very weak and mild voice. You say no with authority. And the third thing you can do is to make sure that you set boundaries, that you don't go in certain places. You don't let a man come into your life very far. You don't let him come into your inner circle. You don't let a man come into your privacy unless you know what you're doing, unless you are in control, unless you know that you are safe, unless you know that you are in a mutual relationship of marriage, preferably. Now, a lot of other things women can do, but those three things will make a huge difference. But when it happens, when you've been abused, when you've been somehow put down, when you've been a victim in some form, you got to speak out. That's the fourth one. You got to speak out. You have to go and tell the teacher. You got to go and tell the principal. You got to go and tell the boss. I mean, whatever it is, you have to go and tell. You have to speak up. You cannot remain silent when you've been victimized sexually in some form of sexual violence against you, no matter what the violence is, because it starts in a small way and then just blossoms into much more flagrant forms of sexual, you know, violence. So, what about men? Men, you got to start respecting women. Women are to be loved for their inner beauty, not their outer beauty. Women are to be appreciated because they have inner beauty, like compassion and caring and honesty and faithfulness. So see the inner beauty of men, of women, and appreciate that and celebrate that, and find women in your life that have that inner beauty. Don't find women in your life that have just outer beauty but no inner beauty. You got the wrong accent if you're going for women who have outer beauty but do not have that inner beauty. It's the inner beauty you got. That's the beautiful woman. That's number one. Number two is, your job as a man is to build the self-esteem of the women in your life, your daughters, your wife, your friends, your girlfriend, to build the self-esteem in the life of a woman. That's your job as a man. Build them up in their own self-esteem, in their own self-respect, in their self-regard. Make sure that that's a very high, important role that you play in the life of a woman. And then number three, stay out of places that are places of temptation. Stay out of places that are, that could be a place of wrongdoing. Don't go into places where you are the only man and with a woman by herself. Make sure that you are always considered to be safe, and that the women around you are always considered to be safe. Don't put yourself in a place where you could be accused falsely. Don't put yourself where you could be tempted beyond your ability to control that temptation. So, man, you got a big job, you know, there to do. And number three is, work on your own personal self-satisfaction, your own self-esteem. Work on your own self-pleasure. Work on your own self-building up of esteem and respect and regard, so that you are seen by many people, women and men, as a man of regard, a man of integrity, a man of importance, a man of respect. Build that kind of reputation so that you will never be falsely accused. You will never be subject to some accusation. You'll never be subject to somebody who is doubtful as to your safety. So those are some of the things you can do. This is a very important day in a sense, and it's a day for us to not particularly celebrate, but be aware, be mindful. It's the United Nations International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. And do something today, decide today, make a plan today, so that the goal of this day, violence against women, will be eliminated, will be advanced, and we'll succeed in that today and for the days ahead. And bye for now.